This is an iHeart podcast.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
From Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries, this is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This impeachment inquiry stuff, let's talk about that. We have Jim Jordan here. Senator Ron Johnson is here. We're going to talk about inflation tonight. I don't even know how we're going to get to all this, but I know it's going to be a great show on I'm Right. You know I love tacos? Stay with me for a moment. Stay with me. We're going to talk about illegal immigration. I'm going somewhere, but I love tacos. I'm a taco freak. Here's the problem. My wife likes them, but doesn't love them. My kids like them, but they don't love them. Me, I always want tacos. So if we're going out to dinner and there's family dinner night and we're doing a vote, hey, what do we want? If I vote tacos, oftentimes I will not have the votes to go get tacos. So I want you to picture something. I tell wife, kids, hey, taco night. How about we vote for tacos? And they say, no, I don't feel like it. And this has always been sold as, you know, a family decision. That's why we're going to vote on it, a family decision. And after they tell me they don't want tacos, I say, oh, okay. All right. Hey, guys, I've got some good news. Well, good news for me. I've adopted 4 children, and all 4 of these children love tacos. So we're going to go ahead and redo our family vote and see who wins on where we're going for dinner. Kind of ridiculous, isn't it? Yeah, that's happening to you right now. That's what's happening to every single American citizen right now. That's what illegal immigration is really, truly about in the end. The people who run our society, the politicians, the tech billionaires, the media people, all these people hate this country. They have horrible plans for it. Everything you know and love, they want to burn it all to the ground. But the problem is we have this representative republic thing, not a democracy, keep in mind, representative republic thing, where the people every so often will go out and they'll vote on leadership. And that's a real problem. You see, leadership wants to burn it down. The people who live here don't want to burn it down. So what are you going to do? If you're one of the leaders, you could, of course, reform your ways, change your view, maybe don't want to burn it down, but that's not how these people think. These people see themselves as kings and queens, and they're, of course, right. And you, stupid peasant, you don't know what you don't know what's best for you. So they're not going to change. What do? Instead, open up the border. It's easy. If we're going to take a vote, and the population doesn't like what I want, I'll just bring in a bunch of people who do. Look, the illegals know it.
Do you care?
No.
You don't care that we have to pay for all of this?
Look, listen.
Like, Americans are paying for all of this. Do you guys, you know that? Like, this, you know, money doesn't come out of nowhere.
Look, if
right?
I pay $7,000 for America, it's...
So because you paid $7,000, then it's okay if we pay something.
I don't care if this for America. I don't care.
So you're because you paid $7,000,
yeah.
It's okay that Americans have to pay some money too.
Yeah, because America is my dream. Thank you, and thank you, Joe Biden, for everything. We love you, Joe Biden.
You said thank you, Joe Biden?
No. Maybe you're boiling with rage right now. Maybe you're rolling your eyes at that guy. But set that aside for a moment. Set the emotion aside for a moment. Let me ask you something. That human being or his children one day receives citizenship and the ability to vote in this country. Do you think there's anything you, a person on the right, could say to him that will have him vote Republican? What are you going to do? Appeal to the Constitution? You going to talk to him about low taxes, abortion, foreign policy? Do you think any of those things are going to tug at that guy's heart and have him vote for you? No. That is a guaranteed communist vote for the rest of America. And that is the grand plan. And that is what why you see so much of what you see right now in the House, in the Senate. You see, the GOP, to their credit, and you know I'm loath to give them credit, the GOP, to their credit, they attached Ukraine funding to border security. And Democrats are, of course, freaking out about it. What? We can't do that! But I've got some real, real bad news for Ukraine. The American communist, he's not going to set aside his open border plans for you. You see, an open border flooding this country with people disloyal to this nation, people who will financially destroy this nation, that is a central part of the American communists' plan to burn this country to the ground. And I don't care what country it is, Ukraine, Israel, anybody, none of you are going to get priority over that. Because for the American Democrat, for the American communist, both the elected ones, the media, tech, whatever, for them, remember, America is the height of all evil, and burning it down is the most noble thing they can possibly do for this country. Insane, illogical, evil, oh yeah, all those things are most definitely there. Nevertheless, that's the country we live in now. All right? Talk to Senator Ron Johnson about that right about now. So, joining me now is the great senator from the state of Wisconsin, Senator Ron Johnson. Senator, I got a little chuckle out of this one from Senator Chuck Schumer.
Both parties understand that aiding Ukraine and resisting Putin are critical for our national security. But Republicans, and only Republicans, are holding everything up because of unrealistic, maximalist demands on the border. Republicans would be giving Vladimir Putin the best gift he could ask for.
Senator, could you break down for us what are these unrealistic, what did he call it, maximalist positions that you're taking on the border?
We want to secure it. It was just that simple.
Yes.
And we would be doing, we would be doing Biden and the Democrats an enormous political favor if they would recognize what we're doing for them and, you know, help us, let us help them secure the border. The open border caused by President Biden and the Democrats is it's a clear and present danger to America. And I've always believed that it was really the president's first responsibility to keep America safe, to actually address clear and present dangers. In this case, this president, this administration, their allies in Congress caused the clear and present dangers. So again, we have secured the border. It's got to be our top priority. And the only leverage we have right now is the funding that this administration claims it wants for Ukraine. I'm not so sure about that.
Explain that. Why aren't you so sure about that? All these people do is talk about Ukraine. They talk about Ukraine 10 times as much as they talk about America. You don't think they want this money?
Well, we're just sort of hearing scuttlebutt behind the scenes that if push comes to shove, you know, their true constituency are not Ukrainians. It's the Dreamers. It's the radical leftists. It's the you know, individuals that are protesting in support of Hamas and Palestine. That is the Democrats' constituency. And if push comes to shove, they would much rather, I guess, throw Ukraine under the bus and not secure the border, because that is what their constituency wants. They want an open border.
What a shock. Senator, could you please explain why any party, Democrat or Republican, would want to flood the country with illegals who have no loyalty to this nation whatsoever? Now, we talk a lot about bipartisanship, which is the lamest word ever, but that should be a pretty bipartisan thing. If you're an American senator, congressman, president, securing the border should be bipartisan, unless, of course, you wanted to burn the country down.
Look what they're doing, for example, in New York. They're letting non-citizens vote in local elections. They're promoting things like mail-in balloting. Obviously, expand the application of absentee balloting. while they relax virtually all the controls over those absentee ballots, even though the Baker-Carter Commission, totally bipartisan commission, said that absentee balloting is probably the greatest potential for fraud in our election system. This is what the Democrats are pushing. So you figure out all the ways they are trying to make it easy to cheat in elections, and then you realize that they've let probably more than 6 million people into this country since Joe Biden became president, even though it's widely unpopular. They're still doing it, and they're you know, again, claim that they want to support for Ukraine, and all Republicans are saying, fine, we're sympathetic with the Ukrainian people's plight as well, but we just think the first priority should be to secure our border. So why don't we strike a deal? We'll secure the border, you can get your Ukrainian funding, and you know, that's called compromise. They're not interested in that compromise. They want an open border, because I think long-term, they view those people are going to be grateful to them. They will vote for Democrats, and it's all about power when it comes to Democrats. They want to do everything they can to maintain and grow their power over your life.
Okay, so these illegals, they obviously have plans to get them voting in elections. That's not something that's ever going to fly federally, right? That's not something that can fly federally, right?
It shouldn't. But again, when you start, and you've got jurisdictions where they just mail out ballots to people, you know, there's no control over that whatsoever. And so, you know, they'll make sure that these populations of people who've been let in by the Biden administration, they'll probably get those mail-in ballots as well. You know, I was in a small town in Wisconsin, about 15,000 population. They estimate their migrant population from this latest surge is about 5,000 people, over 400 kids in their schools speaking a different dialect. Their bilingual teachers need translators, okay? It's overwhelming their systems. But, this is what Democrats are allowing to happen.
Yeah. Let's get to this real quick before I let you go. Senator Mitt Romney went on TV, had this to say about the potential impeachment of Joe Biden.
Have you seen any evidence that President Biden has committed high crimes and misdemeanors?
No, I don't see any evidence of that at all. I think before you begin an impeachment inquiry, you ought to have some evidence, some inclination that there's been wrongdoing. And so far, there's nothing of that nature that's been provided.
So are you opposed to the impeachment inquiry?
Well, if I were in the House, I'd vote against it, unless they were able to bring forward evidence that suggests that there were a high crime or misdemeanor that had been committed. But so far, that hasn't been the case.
Now, obviously, Mitt Romney is very capable of reading. Everyone can read the emails. Everyone knows the substance behind all this, the eyewitnesses who have come forward. There's all kinds of evidence. But all I'm hearing from that senator is that there's no way Joe Biden's getting impeached, and this whole thing's going to turn into a gigantic waste of time because the GOP can't get the job done.
Unfortunately, Senator Romney has been putting his head in the sand on the Bidens, certainly during my investigation. He was not supportive of it. He was one of the reasons that my committee members would not support the subpoenas I would like to have issued to get to the truth. But Senator Grassley and I, we already laid out a very convincing case that a President Joe Biden would be compromised by this vast web of foreign financial entanglements his family was involved in that he obviously knew about. So we laid that out in 2020. And now James Comer, Jordan Smith, those chairmen, have done a great job of filling in the piece of the puzzle, laying out a mountain of evidence. You know, what would he consider a $40,000 check made out to him by James Biden right after James Biden gets $200,000 basically from the Chinese government? There is a growing amount of evidence. What did the Bidens do to get tens of millions of dollars from these foreign financial entities? So again, it's, you know, unfortunately, Senator Romney just has his head buried, I'll say, in the sand. He doesn't want to see the evidence. Now, he's probably right. Even if the House were to finally impeach, right now all they're doing is moving toward an impeachment inquiry so that the Bidens will be forced to cooperate with the investigation like the Trump children did. Okay, so yeah. If the House would actually impeach President Biden, my guess, unless the Democrats are ready to throw President Biden the wolves and want a different candidate, which is maybe entirely true, probably never get convicted in the Senate, but that doesn't mean that we shouldn't be pursuing and exposing the truth, because the American people deserve the truth.
Amen. Senator, stay on it. I appreciate it. All right. We have more. We have a lot more still on tonight's show. We're even getting into food tonight, inflation, all kinds of things. Before we do that, I want to do this. I want to talk about our justice system for just a brief moment. Look, you know that there are parts of our justice system, large parts of it, that are against you now. It's hard for us to make that adjustment and operate in a country that way, but it is true. So what is a normal person to do? I get these emails all the time. Jesse, what do I do? What do I do? Man, you've got to get an attorney. Normal people now, everyday people, you, me, we need attorneys. That's what Attorneys for Freedom is all about. You carry a weapon on you? What happens if you get in a shooting? Ah, Jesse, but it would only be self-defense. Good, I hope so. But do you think that's going to matter to that George Soros prosecutor? Attorneys for Freedom, they're our attorney. Go get them on retainer, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, on retainer for you. AttorneysOnRetainer.us, promo code Jesse. AttorneysOnRetainer.us, promo code Jesse. We'll be back.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
It's almost a dirty word, one that connotes conspiracy theory.
Will we ever get the truth about the Benghazi massacre?
Bad faith political warfare, and frankly, bullshit.
We kill the ambassador just to cover something up. You put two and two together.
Was it an overblown distraction or a sinister conspiracy?
Benghazi is a Rosetta Stone for everything that's been going on for the last 20 years.
I'm Leon Nafok from Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries. This is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Yeah, that's right. Lock her up.
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The impeachment inquiry is necessary now, as Whip Emmer just explained, because we've come to this impasse where following the facts where they lead is hitting a stone wall, because the White House is impeding that investigation now. They're not allowing witnesses to come forward and thousands of pages of documents. So we have no choice. To fulfill our constitutional responsibility, we have to take the next step.
Okay. That sounds good. Sounds like it's moving somewhere. Anyway, let's talk to the congressman about it. Joining me now, the big cheese on the House Judiciary Committee. You know him, Congressman Jim Jordan. Congressman, okay, we've got a vote tomorrow. What is all this? What are we supposed to make of this? Is Joe Biden going to be impeached tomorrow morning?
No, it helps us as we're trying to do our oversight duty to take this formal vote, full House. Remember, the impeachment power is exclusively in the House of Representatives. If we now have a majority of the House saying we're in an official impeachment inquiry mode of oversight, that's going to help us. And here's the best example. There are two lawyers we want to talk to in the Judiciary Committee. We've talked to 8 people as part of the David Weiss investigation into Hunter Biden, including U.S. Attorney David Weiss, now Special Counsel David Weiss. We've talked to those, but there are two guys we want to talk to, Mr. Morgan, Mr. Daley, who were DOJ tax attorneys who initially said they should charge for 2014, 2015, those years when Hunter Biden got the bulk of the Burisma, this Ukrainian energy company, the bulk of that income from that company, and then they changed their tune. Later in the investigation, no, we shouldn't charge. We want to know why. DOJ won't let us talk to those guys. So we think with this vote, it's going to help us get those two guys in for a deposition, as well as other people we need to talk to. And as the speaker mentioned, the documents we need to have as well.
Let's focus on that for a second, Congressman. The DOJ won't let you talk to those guys. Now, I admit I went to community college and I'm not an intelligent person, but I know a little bit about civics, and I don't believe the DOJ is the President of the United States of America's personal attorney and the attorney of his family. Do I have that wrong, though?
No, you got that exactly right. It's supposed to be separate and equal branches of government. And frankly, part of our oversight duty is to do oversight of the executive branch. And so particularly the Judiciary Committee over the Department of Justice. So we want to talk to these guys. They're saying, oh, no, these aren't the top people. These are line level attorneys. We don't care. They're important people that so far everyone we have talked to, by the way, everyone we have talked to has not refuted one word of the whistleblowers. And so we want to talk to these two guys as well, because the whistleblower's story is that these two attorneys initially said charge those years, and they instead said, no, we're not going to, and they let the statute of limitations lapse. We think it's important we talk to them. And now with this vote, assuming we win tomorrow, which I think we will, I think we have a much better chance of getting them in and getting these other witnesses in a more timely fashion.
Okay, you said assuming we win tomorrow. That was going to be my next question. I saw today, surprise, surprise, $10 out on that. What a shock. Yeah. But you think with this slim of a majority, we're going to get this inquiry passed?
I do. We had a nice conference a week and a half ago where we walked through what I think is already pretty compelling evidence for why we need to move ahead with a formal vote. So I do think we're going to win tomorrow. Then we'll get these witnesses in as soon as possible. We have a couple important depositions this week, but we'll get that done as soon as possible. And then we'll make a decision. We'll make a decision based on the evidence and the facts. Do we move forward? Frankly, contrary to how the Democrats did it 4 years ago, where they just decided they were going to impeach President Trump right from the get-go, we're actually looking at the facts and the evidence, and our decision will be driven by that.
Congressman, can you talk about FISA real quick? It looks like the GOP is, at least for the moment, holding firm in the House on not just handing over these powers back to them. Is that the case?
Well, that's certainly where I'm at, certainly where the House Judiciary Committee is at. I think that's where the American people are at. There are some who just want to extend the current program. We want major reform. And the major reform we want, the key ingredient we want, is if the FBI is going to go search in this big, you know, haystack of information, and they're going to use Jesse Kelly's email address or your phone number to go search and query that database, they should get a warrant because you're an American citizen. That's how the Fourth Amendment, that's how our Constitution works. You can't just say, oh, because we got that phone number in a legal fashion, we're not going to use that identifier of a U.S. person to search this big database. No, go get a warrant before you query that database, search that database. We think that's fundamental. And that's the key difference right now, the key hangup. But we're insisting on that fundamental change to the program, as well as others. But that's the fundamental change.
Surely every Republican in the House is with you on that. I understand that there are different levels in the House, but surely they're all at least in agreement on that, right?
No, you would think, but they're not. We got people who do not want that warrant requirement. We have two key provisions. We have that one. A second one is if the government's going to purchase your data, and it would otherwise require a warrant to get that data, we don't think they should be purchasing it. Again, this is the Fourth Amendment's not for sale is the title of that piece of legislation that we put in the bill. We think those two things are sort of fundamental to how we operate. As one of my colleagues said yesterday, because everyone talks about security, and of course we want to be safe, and we're all in favor of spying on foreigners. We just don't want you looking at American stuff without a probable cause warrant. But one of our colleagues said, yeah, we'd all be more secure if we kept a soldier in everyone's house. But we don't do that because it's America and we have a constitution. And that's why we started this place, you know, way back when.
Yeah, that's what makes the land of the free free. Congressman, thank you so much. I appreciate it very much. All right. Inflation sucks. What do these numbers mean, though, today? And is it going to get better? Let's talk to Carrie Sheffield about that in just a moment. Before we talk to Carrie, let's do this. Let's talk about rescuing dogs. No, I'm not telling you to go grab a dog, all right? Hey, you can if you want, but I'm just asking you to support an organization that does rescue them. Delta Rescue, they not only rescue them, it's not just that they bring the dog in, they will care for that dog for the rest of its life, and they will never put the dog down. Delta Rescue is the world's largest no-kill Care for Life Animal Shelter. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that special? What a wonderful place. They only do what they do with your support. I can't believe we live in a country where people abandon their dogs, but this is something people do. They'll leave their apartment and just leave the dog behind. Isn't that sick? DeltaRescue.org is how you support them, where you go to support them. Go support them. DeltaRescue.org. We'll be back.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
It's almost a dirty word, one that connotes conspiracy theory.
Will we ever get the truth about the Benghazi massacre?
Bad faith political warfare, and frankly, bullshit.
We kill the ambassador just to cover something up. You put two and two together.
Was it an overblown distraction or a sinister conspiracy?
Benghazi is a Rosetta Stone for everything that's been going on for the last 20 years.
I'm Leon Neyfakh. from Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries. This is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Yeah, that's right. Lock her up.
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, let's talk inflation. Now, this is one of those things where I don't need to tell you, there's inflation. Everyone who's bought eggs knows there's inflation. Everyone who's gone out to dinner knows there's inflation. It sucks. What are the actual numbers? 3.1 year over year now, 3.1%. For those keeping track, since 2020, if you add it all up, essentially you're 17% poorer. The inflation in your life is 17% higher than it was just 3 years ago. We all have a lower standard of living today than we did 3 years ago, and that kind of sucks, does it not? So when does this end? Is it going to end? Is it going to get worse? Let's ask an expert about it. Joining me now, Carrie Sheffield, senior policy analyst for the Independent Women's Forum, also author of the book Motorhome Prophecies. Okay, Carrie, inflation's bad. That's not exactly breaking news to anyone who buys things, but why is it so bad?
Well, a big answer is government spending. So as we know, government spending crowds out productive spending. And if you look at the cumulative hiring among all the sectors, so if you're talking about manufacturing, healthcare, things where we actually are making things or producing real products and real services in the private economy, every single job creating sector is overshadowed by government hiring. That means government is the number one employer here this year. And that is a bad thing because not only is it fake numbers and fake jobs, I call it like a Popkin village. You know, it's a fake Russian village used to as a facade because now Joe Biden's crowing about all these great employment numbers. Well, that's actually fake because it's not real jobs. These are jobs that are being used and paid for by taxpayers. And they're not being even paid off today. They're going to be paid on the backs of our children and our children's children.
Tell me about these fake jobs, Carrie. This is news to a lot of Americans. It certainly reminds me of the old FDR New Deal days where we were essentially paying people to shovel out a ditch and then paying them to shovel it back in. Is that what we're doing now?
Well, it is. It's been now in the form of the Green New Deal. So it's very interesting that you picked up on it. That's exactly what it is. It's the 2.0 version of it. And that was a major component of the bill that was signed into law by Joe Biden and rammed through by the Democrats with Joe Manchin's help. I think it's no surprise that Joe Manchin is retiring because people are furious that he caved. And he also didn't even get what he wanted in return. He was promised things by the Democrats in order for him to sign onto that. Well, guess what? They didn't deliver. And so he's resigning in shame, or he's not going to run for reelection because people are really upset about this. So the fact that a lot of these government jobs are quote unquote green jobs or trying to, again, it's another inflated area where the government's trying to force demand in a sector that just isn't ready. It's not developed. And look, we're all supportive of innovation at Independent Women's Forum, and we want to have clean air. But the fact of the matter is that the United States is actually reducing its emissions. The problem here is China. And so all of these Europeans getting together for their climate summit right now in developed countries, there's the elephant not in the room. It's China is never going to actually do something that it doesn't want to do. And so we are, meanwhile, committing economic suicide through all these Green New Deal projects and hiring. And I want to point out another metric that might be useful for you guys to understand about inflation. So you put up that number about the inflation 3.14. Well, a number that's actually more accurate is called the median CPI, the median consumer price index. That is actually 5.24, much higher than the 3.14. And why the median CPI is so significant is that it basically is the median, it's the 50th percentile. It's sort of that market basket of goods that is more normal. It throws out the more extremes, low or high, and puts it to be the more typical use or basket of goods that people consume. And so that is much higher. It's 5.24%. That is a big part of why the inflation is higher than it seems nominally, which again, Joe Biden is trying to crow about the nominal CPI, but the median CPI tells a much different story.
Well, in the face of all this inflation, at least they've stopped printing unbacked currency by the trillion, haven't they, Carrie?
Well, there's still a lot on the books, and they are, and the Fed has said that they, you know, they want to tamper. They don't want, and they also don't want to raise the rates anymore. That's the goal. But it's so high to the point where you talked about people being less poor than they were 3 years ago. You're spot on. And the Committee to Unleash Prosperity had a great report about this from E.J. Antoni. He reported that the value of your average 401k plan has fell by $16,000. And then once you layer on the loss of inflation, that it's a combined loss of $33,000 or 25%. So this hits retirees who are living on fixed income the most. And so that's where I hope that people will look at what's happening and say, I'm going to vote for change. I'm going to vote for something different at a policy level.
Yeah. Well, what changed, though, Carrie? This is what chaps me about this thing. What changed? Republicans spend trillion after trillion after trillion after trillion, and then as soon as they lose, Democrats spend 2 trillion after 2 trillion, and then Republicans act like they're the party of fiscal responsibility when they spend like drunken sailors. All of them do. All those $1 trillion bills were signed by Trump before Biden got in.
That's a very good point. And in fact, I asked that same question. I was in 2020, I was a reporter for John Solomon at the White House for Just the News. And I asked the Trump White House over and over, why are you guys pushing through these $1 trillion packages? Why? Why does it have to be this much right now? And I do believe, unfortunately, they were getting bad advice from people like Anthony Fauci to have this massive overreaction to COVID, to shut everything down. And so when you have a massive overreaction, you know, they say in physics, there's a counteraction. And so in order to counterbalance the massive government overreach, they had this massive stimulus program to avoid going into a deep recession. And so it really was, unfortunately, a miscalculation and a reactionary process, because things were going really great, actually, as we all know, before COVID, economically speaking. You had the lowest unemployment for Black, Latino, Asian women. You had the highest median household income growth for people in the lower end of the economic ladder. So you had some really strong metrics, especially for people who had been historically suffering. And then COVID hit, and we had this massive overreach of government. And that's really, I think, the most important takeaway as far as like looking forward, to say, right now at this point, our debt to GDP levels are the highest they've been since World War II. So we have been behaving as if we are in a wartime zone, and there's no end in sight, because they keep passing through these $1 trillion spending bills. We can't keep behaving like we're in a war zone for the rest of our lives. Otherwise, like your body's limbic system, if you're constantly in this fight or flight mode, you're eventually going to topple over, and that's where we're heading.
Golly. Well, Janet Yellen says there's going to be a soft landing. Anyway, here was Janet Yellen.
So you've said you see a soft landing as the most likely outcome for the economy. Is that, do I have that right?
Yes, in the sense that to me, a soft landing is the economy continues to grow, the labor market remains strong, and inflation comes down. And I believe that's the path we're on.
Because I don't know if, I don't know if there's anybody who's wrong more often than Janet Yellen.
Yes, Jesse, it's true. I mean, she and the whole team also at the Fed have been asleep at the wheel this whole time. It's all been reactionary. You know, they were asleep at the wheel at the Fed when it came to the interest rates, and just not realizing the fiscal effects and what it would do to the interplay between fiscal and monetary. The Fed just was asleep at the wheel. And then the fact that Janet Yellen just wants to keep spending. I've never heard her actually cry out to say, this is actually really bad for the fiscal health of our country. And as Treasury Secretary, that's part of her responsibility, to keep us on good tracks here. So yeah, I agree. When she says something, I'm gonna seize up and think the opposite. That being said, she kind of has to say that, because if the alternative is, if she says, well, I predict things are gonna be cataclysmic, then the markets would respond accordingly. I just think I'd like to see something that's more realistic instead of, you know, speaking so far in one or other directions. But the fact that we have such high inflation that's continuing, again, the median inflation is more than 5%, that's not normal. The Fed has its target of 2%, which never made sense to me at all. Why have any inflation target at all. Inflation is just inherently destructive in terms of eroding the buying power of people, eroding the power of retirees. So I think that the expert, Janet Yellen, one thing that she was known for when she was the Fed chairwoman was that she was constantly going outside of her lane. You know, the dual mandate of the Fed is just to maintain the interest rates and also work on unemployment. And she said, I'm going to be really focused as the Federal Reserve chair on inequality. That's not her job. That was not her job. And that's really the that started under Obama. That's really when it started.
Carrie, thank you so much. Ah, Lee, that's a lot. You know, speaking of inflation and food inflation, Chef Andrew Gruhl's going to join us. You want to know why it costs an eye-popping amount to go out to eat? Let's ask the chef about it next. Then we'll talk about some recipe stuff and other things. Before we get to that, let's talk about this. It is the Christmas season. What if you could give somebody a gift that would give them more energy in the afternoons when they hit that wall? It's time. I need another 10 cups of coffee. You hit that wall? Does someone in your life hit that wall? Give the gift of a stack from Chalk. Male vitality stack or a female vitality stack. Give it 90 days. Natural herbal supplements. No more energy drinks. No more afternoon coffee, unless you want one. I love coffee. You won't need it, though, because you'll feel so good, so much focus. Your mind works better. I freaking love Chalk, and I love that it's natural. We must go more natural in this age of our evil pharmaceutical companies. All right? Christmas sale time. Chalk.com, promo code JesseTV is what gets you the sale prices. Chalk.com, JesseTV. We'll be back.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
It's almost a dirty word, one that connotes conspiracy theory.
Will we ever get the truth about the Benghazi massacre?
Bad faith political warfare, and frankly, bullshit.
We kill the ambassador just to cover something up. You put 2 and 2 together.
Was it an overblown distraction or a sinister conspiracy?
Benghazi is a Rosetta Stone for everything that's been going on for the last 20 years.
I'm Leon Nafok from Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries. This is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Yeah, that's right. Lock her up.
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Food inflation. This is not something I need to tell you about. I don't need to bring up, well, did you see the latest in the Wall Street Journal? I don't have to tell anybody about food inflation because you feel it. You know it. You feel it when you go out to eat. I went out to eat, got 2 tacos, chips and queso last night, and a Coke, and it was $26. You feel it when you buy eggs, when you buy meat. Why is this happening? Let's talk to the good chef about that. Joining me now, Chef Andrew Gruhl, not only owner of the Calico Fish House, he now has a Substack with all his amazing recipes. If your mouth has been watering, go to American Gravy on Substack. Okay, chef, let's begin with the ugly. Why does it cost me $26 for 2 tacos, chips and queso, and a Coke?
Yeah, I mean, it's not just the price of goods, right? Everybody, they water down these numbers like, well, you know, inflation has gone down about 0.3%, et cetera. That's irrelevant. It's the cost of doing business in many of these states. It's the cost of the supply chain mistakes. It's the cost of COVID that's still going to bludgeon us day in and day out, probably for the next decade. So you're adding on all of these other costs that are somewhat unrelated to inflation, many of which are related to inflation, and it's driving the food prices up at a rate I've never seen before ever. I mean, it's pretty outrageous.
Chef, you mentioned supply chain problems. For those of us who aren't in your industry and we don't understand these complicated things, what are you talking about? What supply chains? What problems?
Well, do you remember when Pete Buttigieg, our amazing director of something, was going to control the fact that we couldn't get goods from all over the world. There were ships lined up at the ports that you could see all the way from the US to China, it felt like, and there were no goods on the shelves. But don't worry, he had a solution. Those problems still exist. The media obviously has gotten bored covering it, and they don't want to cover it because it reflects poorly on the Biden administration. But there are still ships piled up out there, maybe not at the rate that they were, but we're still trying to catch up in regards to supply chain. So when I can't get the goods into my restaurant, straws, paper plates, cups, half of this stuff is produced in China anyways. There's no market for it in the United States. Well, then the little product that's left, we all have to fight over, which is why the prices get jacked up, right? High demand, low supply, high prices. That's happening in every single sector of the goods that we purchase in the restaurant industry.
Chef, let's switch from the food for a minute and get to the help, because I hear this all the time from my friends now, and I try to calm them down a little. They always complain about the help now. Either they're restaurant owners or business owners and they say, I can't find good help. Or they're just patrons. Ah, I went to this restaurant, it's one of my favorites, and the waiter was an idiot. The waiter was rude. And I try to explain, these restaurants cannot find people. Businesses cannot find people. So you've got to take whatever turd actually shows up to work. So yes, the help's worse.
Something significant changed over COVID when we went through this cultural and social revolution where workers were out on the streets, you know, picketing and demanding X, Y, and Z from the government, not from the businesses. And what it did was it encouraged a lot of the workers that otherwise would be looking for part-time jobs or transition jobs not to enter the workforce, because they knew that they would either A, get benefits from the government, B, that they could just kind of sit by and, you know, wait for the next emergency situation to bail them out, or D, they wanted to stay at home, live with mom and dad, and not work. So especially in the restaurant and retail industry, where you're looking for unskilled labor effectively for a lot of these kind of cashier positions, it's very difficult to find the help. Now add to that, in places like California, where they've put these crazy legal threats over all the businesses. If you want to look up PAGA, the Public Attorneys General Act, where basically any employee can act as the attorney general and sue a business for a frivolous violation that are now costing businesses millions of dollars. Google got sued through a PAGA lawsuit because they underpaid an employee or didn't give him a meal break. $1.5 million settlement. The employees got 90 cents each. The trial attorneys got $650,000, and the state gets the rest of the money.
Oh, what a friggin' racket. Chef, I know it sounds weird, but people don't understand insurance either. What causes insurance costs to go up, and they don't understand that they're paying for that insurance cost going up every time they have to pay $15 for a cheeseburger now.
Yeah, well, I mean, we all pay for the insurance costs. I mean, that's what it comes down to, because when I try and get a policy that's accredited, right? Mind you, there's policies that are accredited and policies that aren't accredited. And those that we need to buy that are accredited, especially in California, the rates have gone up so significantly that insurance for me used to be like a 1% line item. I mean, it's up there 4 or 5%. So where are those? How am I going to cover those costs? Well, I got to increase my prices. All of these things come through. They trickle down to the consumer, the end user's price.
Tell me about this Calico Fish House. I haven't had the chance yet to walk in there, Chef. All I get to do is drool over your pictures like that you put up online, like the rest of everybody.
Yeah, it's a seafood chop house. So we get all of our fish local from local fishermen, and then we got the best in meats, right? So we're getting direct from the farm meats, changing the menu pretty much every single week. Best burgers. We're grinding the meat ourselves. We've got our own special grind, but nothing frilly, right? Nothing fancy. I mean, we're giving people food at the right price. And the way in which, look, I'll be honest with you, the way in which I'm able to keep my prices lower is by working in there 24 hours a day myself to keep the labor costs down. And I force my kids to work in the restaurant too, which is free labor. And that's how I can keep my prices reasonable.
Yeah. Yeah, I still have it. Chef, obviously I joke about having the world's best cheeseburger. I dream about having one of yours, which I've never had yet. They just look like the best thing in the world. How do you make a good burger? For those of us who can't grind our own burger or aren't going to do that, okay, we're not Chef Gruel, but I want to make a great burger at home. Give me some burger tips.
Well, one of the things people do at home is that when they cook the burger and the meat kind of shrinks, they get that bubble in the top, right? So you have that round burger as opposed to a nice hockey puck burger. So what you want to do, because what's happening is the connective tissue is pulling together as it cooks, you want to put a divot in the center of your burger first. It's almost going to look like a hockey puck with a hole in the center. Push that through so that when it does cook, it actually comes to a level point so that you can top your burger appropriately. I call it the architecture of a burger. And then you just don't have this kind of conical volcano burger that falls apart.
Are you a toasted bun guy or not? Is that sacrilege for you?
You got to toast your buns, and I'll tell you why. You toast it with mayo or butter because when the juices from the burger run through, they repel against the fat because the juices are water. They repel against the fat as opposed to soaking into the bun and soaking your bun.
Dadgone. What's Coke butter? On your Substack, you have something. Coke butter? What's wrong with you?
All right, so besides the fact that I love Coke, I'm joking. That's going to cancel me. I meant to say cold butter, and everybody was asking me what Coke butter was. So I said, you know what? I'm going to create a Coke butter. I reduced a can of Coca-Cola with fresh aromatics, and then I folded it into butter and some hot sauce, and I slathered that onto grilled pork chops, and thus Coke butter was born.
Oh, that sounds fantastic. Go figure out how to make some Coke butter. Thank you, Chef. I appreciate you very much, sir. Gosh, I'm freaking hungry now. Should have known that was coming when we had Chef on. All right, we have Lighten the Mood next.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
It's almost a dirty word, one that connotes conspiracy theory.
Will we ever get the truth about the Benghazi massacre?
Bad faith political warfare. And frankly, bullshit.
We kill the ambassador just to cover something up. You put 2 and 2 together.
Was it an overblown distraction or a sinister conspiracy?
Benghazi is a Rosetta Stone for everything that's been going on for the last 20 years.
I'm Leon Nafok from Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries. This is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Yeah, that's right. Lock her up.
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I like animals. I don't think I'd go so far as to call myself an animal lover, but I like animals. When I see a deer crossing the street, I think, wow, that's really cool. That's a deer. Ah, that's a bear. Oh, look, an eagle. I really like animals. And that said, because I've spent my time in Montana hunting and fishing, that's how I grew up with my dad, I understand that animals can be very dangerous. I don't care. Look, especially you ladies, I know the Disney movies make them out to be very cute, and as soon as you turn around, they talk and they sing and they do a dance routine. But in reality, they're just very, very stupid wild animals who will defend themselves violently at the drop of a hat. They're animals. And so when I saw this video of this dude in the Florida Everglades, well, you know what? As a light in the mood, here he is.
Hey guys, I'm in the Florida Everglades and I'm using my feet to attract this swamp puppy. Mr. Crocodile's coming in hot. I think he's about to yoink me. But he's just curious and he's saying hi to me. Yellow rat snake, yoink. I ended up getting yoinked by this sweetheart. He got me on the leg, but it doesn't hurt. Ooh, chameleon. Yoink. This is a little male veiled chameleon, and he'll make a fantastic pet. Ooh, yoink. We got a tokay gecko. Ooh, we got another one. Yoink. Look at this juicy handful of tokay geckos. It's not easy looking for a 20-foot Burmese python, especially when you don't stage your videos. Ooh, that's a big green water snake. Yoink. She's definitely not too happy with me. How can you not love a face like that, though? Tropical orb weaver. Boop. Look at that juicy cottonmouth. You gotta watch your step out here. Ooh, this python doesn't know what's coming for him. Finally, we got one. Yoink.
There's something wrong with some people. I'll see you tomorrow.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
From Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries, this is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.